from all of us at the Beach Bears to each and every one of you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
That was 5 years ago. Seems like ages to me. Mostly because I've been busy doing a lot of other things. First, I had to calm Les down and let him know that I would continue to pay him a salary while I found out what I was going to do next. I mean, it's not like he needed the money. He's a shrewd raccoon and knows how to invest, so he's sitting pretty. But he always wants more. Besides, he really is a good manager, and I may still need that. Best to keep him on retainer. I figured I would come up with something in a month or two, but I kept putting it off, partly because Stan and I had a home we needed to fix up. We made the fencing a bit more substantial, since both Stan and I were paranoid about people who might have it in for Stan. Not just the cub trafficking rings, but nut jobs who figured out who the author of The Man Who Was a Monster really was. We also remodeled the place. We did almost no improvements to the outside, as we would rather not draw attention to ourselves. But the inside is, in a word, nice. Improved fireplace that could heat the entire house. We turned one of the rooms into a recording studio for me, and a niche in the living area for Stan and his writing. And the kitchen. Alton Brown would be jealous. While we have cell phones, we have no other internet in the house, something we agreed upon as a safety precaution against old habits. Oh, and for those who might be wondering, no, Stan and I are not how you say in a relationship. We care deeply for each other, and because we care deeply for each other, we simply do not do things that could easily bring back old habits. Stan especially feels no need for that with his frequent trips for chemical castration. He's much happier as a result. Yes, there have been plenty of rumors, but none of them are true. My brother-in-law Stargazer also no longer lives in the same house as my brother. He and Sarah bought a house close to the church where they were married. His two kids, Corona and Perseus, are growing quickly. While both of the kids have clear evidence of mixed heritage, they look as different as night and day. But I'll let Star tell you more. Vips did indeed show them where all the fun things were as they grew, and since he could ride his bike over to their house whenever he liked, he had no problem with Star moving out. Vips still lives with his mom and dad, but the renovations are done, and they have successfully turned it into a bed and breakfast. They managed to get permission to use part of a parking lot fairly close to the house for guests, and use a shuttle van that Dan drives. With only 3 rooms available, they are usually booked weeks in advance, especially in the summer and around Christmas. But again, I'll let Dips tell his own story. Back to me. It's not like I had intended to put off a decision for so long. I just got wrapped up in other things. I attend church regularly with Stan, mostly for moral support. He's grown rather fond of a storefront church in Portsmouth. Well, it used to be a storefront in any case, but with Stan and I as regular members making regular contributions, they soon managed to purchase an older church building to hold worship services there, as well as provide simple hot meals for the needy. Believe me, both Stan and I spent a lot of time there before we actually started contributing anything substantial. But the pastor proved himself to be a fox of high integrity. Never an appeal for contributions, always ready and willing to lend a sympathetic ear. His ministry was always about love. Always. It made it very easy to come, especially for us, since neither of us felt very worthy of being loved. But this guy, he knows how to make you feel loved and constantly repeats the message.
We need love to live. Worthiness has nothing to do with it. Do you have to be worthy to drink water? To breathe air? Just as our bodies need water and air, our spirits need love.
Well, that message sank in, not just for us. Many others began to attend, mostly the ragtag and castaways who came for a warm meal before and after the service, but stayed for the spiritual food, and as the attendance went up, so did our contributions. But I still felt like something was missing. Stan knew what it was and finally cornered me.
Birch, can I talk to you for a minute?
You can talk to me anytime, Stan. We live in the same house, right?
Well, yeah, but look, Birch, you seem restless.
No, I'm fine.
No, you are not fine. I know that look. If you were a rabbit, your ears would be drooping. And you definitely need someone to rub your nose into what is painfully obvious to me. You gotta start singing again, Birch.
You sound like my brother-in-law.
Well, that's because he's right. Look, go talk to Les. See if he's willing to back you on another solo album.
Oh, come off it, Stan. I tried that.
Yeah, I know the first one didn't work, but... Birch, can I level with you?
What is it this time?
Well, I never told you this because I didn't think it was relevant, but seeing as how you're feeling, I just... Well, I kept my ears open after you left our group band. Well, your first solo album, Birch? I'm pretty certain it was sabotaged.
What? Why? Did the rest of the band have it in for me that badly?
Well, I don't know how much Grizz was involved, if at all, because, frankly, that part of me is still missing. What I do know is that the narrative around your sudden departure was that you were becoming the diva. I mean, you were getting too demanding and becoming impossible to work with. I mean, that's why no one approached you about financing a solo release. And then when you did come up with the money for yourself, the label was more than happy to take it and do a first press. But from what I saw, they deliberately held back on promotion and distribution. I mean, they wanted the album to flop. Now they figured that if it did, you'd pack up and leave town. And darned if that ain't exactly what happened.
Huh. Well, if that was their plan, they pushed me into the best possible place for me.
But that's just it, Birch. You always seem to know just where to go when things don't go right.
Oh, if only that were true.
It is true. I've watched you plenty of times. And as much as you think yourself unlovable, you have plenty of people who love the living daylights out of you. And you know it.
No, okay. But what does that have to do with another album?
You need to sing, Birch. That's where your heart is. I mean, when you're in that recording studio, you completely lose track of time. And you don't mind one bit. That's the proof. But look, how many songs have you written since the last Beach Bears album?
Well, they just come to me, Stan. That doesn't mean I have to record them.
Actually, it does. But you know which one told me the most that you need to make another album? This one right here.
That one? Stan, I wrote that when I was in one of the worst depressions I'd felt in ages.
Exactly. And it helped. Didn't it? Look, when I started writing The Man Who Was a Monster, I was doing it for me. I mean, it was part of my therapy. It was helping in break down barriers and bringing up memories I needed to reconcile. Honestly, I was surprised when Nathan told me a publisher was interested in the story. But what surprised me even more, after the book hit the shelves, was the number of letters and emails my publisher showed me. They came from people who could identify with the lead character, either themselves or someone they loved. My story became their voice. My story gave them a hope they couldn't find anywhere else. I mean, the book wasn't about me anymore. It became much bigger and touched more lives than I ever could have imagined. Here, just read these lyrics. How many people out there are dealing with those feelings every single day? A hell of a lot more than are dealing with split personalities, I guarantee you that. They're waiting to hear this song, Birch. They need this song. This is their voice. This song ain't just for you. It's for thousands, if not millions, of others.
Stan can be very convincing at times, and he most certainly was then. I finally agreed to arrange it for other instruments, record it, and let Les release it as a single.
LA's fine, the sun shines most of the time. And the feeling is laid back. Palm trees grow and there ain't snow, but you know I never think about making my way back. Well, I spent time in New York's haze, but nowadays I'm lost between two shores. LA's fine, but it ain't home. New York's fun, but it ain't mine no more. I am myself to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair. I am my cry. I am said I. And I am lost and I can't even say why. Leaving me lonely still. Did you ever read about a frog who dreamed of becoming a king and then became one? Well, except for the names and a few other changes, if you talk about me, the story's the same one. But I got an emptiness deep inside and I've tried, but it won't ever let me go. And I'm not a bear who likes to swear, but I never cared for the sound of being alone. I am, I said, I cried, I am, said I, and I am lost and I can't even say why. I am, I said.